Welcome to the Abbot Lou Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
So open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 14, and we're going to get started talking about being ambassadors of reconciliation. This is really the fourth part of a series that I'm doing on reconciliation, sort of in the mix of what Pastor Mark Drake has been preaching. But I'm on a mission here teaching these messages about reconciliation. And the first one was about forgiveness, and that forgiveness does not lead you necessarily, or it does not complete the circle or the cycle of reconciliation. You have to have forgiveness and repentance to be able to find true reconciliation. I preached two messages, one about forgiveness and one about repentance. I encourage you to get those. Then I taught a message about hope in suffering, right? This is really a part of the whole series, is that in each one of us, we're going to go through trials and problems and struggles, but we have to see the end from the beginning, right? When we start in the beginning, we need to see the end work of what God wants to do. And when we see how God, through our trials and our struggles and loss, and even loss in relationship and struggles in relationship, we see the thing God produces at the end, and it causes us to trust God more and believe God that, look, you're always at work in me, working in me and around me and through me. And so I'm going to now hope. When I start to suffer, I'm going to get excited about it. You're like, no, that's not possible. It is possible. You should get that message, and it'll really encourage you. You can get them all on our podcast. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We ready? We're going to talk about reconciliation. Now, we've got both components. We have forgiveness and repentance in this model, right? We got to have both, and you can't guarantee you're going to get both. You can always participate in forgiveness and set yourself free. And you can lead your relationships with repentance, which will help lead to reconciliation. But I believe there are some principles that help govern this whole desire for reconciliation, or the model for having reconciliation in our church. And it really starts with our relationship with Jesus. And it's why I'm going to start with this passage in 2 Corinthians about us being ambassadors for Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, Christ's love controls us. This is New Living Translation, the second edition. Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, that's everybody here, right? Some of you might need to make a decision to choose Christ today. That would be a good decision. We also believe that we have all died to our old life. I don't know about you, but in my old life, I made different decisions. How about you? Before you knew Jesus, before I knew Jesus, I did things differently than the way I do them now. When I had a broken relationship before I knew Jesus, I would cut that person off, man. You are cut off. Get out of here. And I'd probably give them a few choice words on their way out, right? I don't know about you. It wasn't the loveliest thing. And that always worked out bad for me. But I don't have to live that way anymore, because I've received Christ inside of me. He died for me, died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Wow, you know, your life in Christ is not to live for you, it's to live for others. Instead, they will live for Christ, right, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human's point of view. What? We have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. That's super important for us to remember right there. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. What? God has given who the task of reconciling people to him? Us. Do you save people? No. But he did give you and I the task of reconciling people to himself. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. He does all the work. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So what is the thing, the task that he gave us? He gave us this message, this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. This is awesome. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. How awesome that our task is to be ambassadors for Christ, to share the message of who Jesus is and what he did for us and how he made us right. Our job is to share the message, right? And his job is to do the saving. You and I are called to truly be ambassadors for Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that God, you change everything. You have changed everything. You are doing such a powerful work inside of our lives. We're asking God that today you give us a fresh revelation, Lord. You'd fill us up. You'd anoint us for this work of being ambassadors in your kingdom. God, that we would truly be those who go and bring reconciliation and the message of reconciliation to the world and to those around us, God. We're asking for your love to pour out on us, and we honor you, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Most of God's people said, amen. Oh, man, what a great thing to even think about. Just that we are ambassadors. We carry this really cool message. The greatest message of all, and I love going into the Christmas time because we're going to talk about the greatest story, right, of Jesus coming to our world to make us right. Think about a church life that looked like this. What if our church looked like all of us going out and leading people to Jesus? We're sharing the message of reconciliation, each one of us. And we watch God save these people and draw their hearts and transform their lives. They become like children to us. Have you ever led anyone to Jesus, or whoever led you to Christ? Do you think about the bond you have with that person? It's really hard to let that thing go. And I know the people that led me to the Lord and discipled me and raised me up. Man, I will never be separated from them. And the people that I've led to Christ and have been, they become a part of my life. They're like sons and daughters to me. It's really hard to walk away from those relationships, isn't it? And see, God designed us, each one of us, to make disciples. And he promised he'd build his church. Hello. Right? We make disciples and he build his church. Right? And so when God gives us a task, it's not so that if we don't do it, we feel all condemned. But no, God gives us a meaningful task for a purpose. God wants it to go through us so that those real relationships are genuinely built. So it's really messy. Because it gets messy when you start to really know each other. You can't just walk away because it hurts. But life in America, a lot of times we've kind of morphed our church culture to where we come in and we go out and we get fed. Well, I'm here to get fed. And then that's it. That's what I want from church. But listen, Christ's love controls us. It compels us, is what some versions say, right? And it's not about what we want. We don't live our life for us anymore. We live it for him. And when we live it for him, he gives us a task, and that is to lead others to Jesus so that we have to care about them. And they're like, you're my daddy. Well, when you have a baby, they look at you like, you're supposed to do something for me. You're my dad. You're my mom, right? And there's this relationship that's born in the kingdom. You can't unborn it. Right? Listen, I have this vision. I believe God designed our churches to be this way, that we are always leading people to Jesus. Not just me, but we, right, are leading people to the Lord individually so they care about you. And they care about you, and then they have that real relationship, and you train them up and help them grow. And it's really hard to walk away from a dozen people you led to Christ, isn't it? That's the kind of bond that God desires and why he wants us to be ambassadors for him. He wants us to carry his message. Could he just do it himself? Of course he's God. He could show up with thunderous clouds and just shake everything. Everybody be all like, oh, get saved, right? Open up cracks in the ground and close them real quick and say, you want to go in there? No, I'll get saved. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. But the thing is that the kingdom of God is about relationship. It's about love. It's about knowing one another. And we have to embrace this task of being ambassadors of that love and carrying that message of reconciliation. Okay? So say this with me real slow, okay? I am an ambassador for Christ. Come on. It's you, not somebody else, not just the person next to you. God is calling you to cultivate the relationships around you and help them come into an intimate and lasting relationship with Jesus. So share your faith and trust God that he is going to do the work to save his people and build his church. Amen? You and I got to be praying for people. We got to be cultivating those relationships and seeing those. And when we do, we get into a real relationship. Now we've got some problems. That's a great evangelistic message, Pastor. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. But you know what happens when you know people? It's, you screw it up. We all screw it up. We hurt one another, don't we? Because we really know each other. And God goes, yes, I love this mess. Because he died for it. And he's living in it. And he knows iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another, or one woman sharpens another, or one woman sharpens a man. That's usually how it works in my house. Right? Man, I call it cracking the caveman. Like, I just felt like a caveman when I first got married, and now I'm somewhat civilized. My wife has been a big part of that civilization. It's been good. I feel almost sophisticated, you know? Almost. But then I remember where I come from, right? Right past the chemical plant. I'm right there. So listen, for us to really live together and for us to really have a life that is meaningful, where we can stay together and we don't walk away, we have to learn how to not only share our faith, which I think will create a healthier church, because we'll have healthier relationships for brand new believers. That's a really big, important step. But also we have to learn as God grafts us together and integrates us together and we partner together in this mission, we have to learn how to make things right when we damage our relationships. Amen? So you're not only an ambassador and carrying the message of reconciliation towards the world, but you also are an ambassador in your Christian community. You're an ambassador in your church for reconciliation. An ambassador is this, a person who acts and as a representative or a promoter of a specified activity, right? An agent is a person or thing that takes an active role or produces a specified effect, a person who acts on behalf of another. So like you are actually acting on behalf of Christ. You're acting on behalf of another person, of another power. You're acting on behalf of what God has done for us. Here's some great supporting text to my argument today that you and I are called to be ambassadors of reconciliation. Ephesians 4:3 says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Philippians 1:27, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves and manage in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Come on, are we making every effort? Have we made every effort to move towards reconciliation? And I just tell you this, that if your heart is still beating, then you haven't made every effort yet. You're alive. You still have opportunity. You have choice. You have the living God, the loving God living inside of you. And you can do as the kingdom, teaches us to do, to sow into relationships. You can sow into relationships. And I preached another message you could go grab about that the kingdom is about seeds. And that Jesus taught us that as the mustard seed is so tiny, it's the tiniest of seeds, you throw it in, it becomes in the ground, it becomes this great big huge tree that the birds can nest in, and they can find, you know, shade under its boughs. Like, look, the kingdom is not about great exploits. The kingdom is about you and I being faithful with the little things that God has entrusted to us, sowing seeds of peace, sowing seeds of love, seeds of righteousness, right? At every opportunity, and trusting that God will grow his kingdom inside of people. So you and I have to buy into this heavenly perspective. If we really want to become agents of reconciliation or ambassadors of reconciliation, we have to get a new mindset. We have to believe that the kingdom is seeds. And we have to get a new mindset believing that each one of us is going to see that person that we have a broken relationship with in heaven. You with me? I want you to think about the person that maybe you hate. And you wouldn't admit it to me or anybody else. Well, you might just say in your heart, you go, you know what? I really, really dislike them to the highest degree of dislike. But, oh, I don't hate him, but I just dislike him a lot. Okay? Or maybe you're honest enough to say, I hate that guy or hate that gal. Okay? I don't like it. I don't want to hate him. I know that's wrong. But I'm just saying I'm hurt that bad, and it's real. Okay? We're being honest with that. We just kind of like strip it all out there and say, okay, we're working on this. And I've been there. And sometimes I am there. And I'm struggling different degrees with different people. I'm like, God, I want to keep my heart right. But what I can believe is that when I go to heaven, I'm going to see that guy or that gal. And we're going to bump into each other some point. What then? So what about heaven? I mean, just think about this. If God says that he wants his kingdom and we can live his kingdom of heaven, can be alive and well and active here on earth, right? We can think, I think this is a mindset as well as with prayer, but a mindset of thinking, God, how we are going to be living in heaven, we ought to be trying to live right now. It's not that much more complicated than that. I don't want to give too much theology around that whole concept. But I'm just saying that you and I should be thinking about if we're going to be reconciled, no matter what, I promise you, Jesus might sit us in a room together with that person and mediate for 500 years, keep bringing in different people that we've got broken relationship with, and we're like, I'm never doing that again, right? I don't know what it's going to be like in the, you know, the reconciliation room in heaven. You're like, oh, another one, you know, whatever. I don't know, but I promise you it's going to happen. So what about now? If it's going to be that way then, why can't we live that way now? Why can't we at least hope for that now? Now, I know reconciliation takes two people willing to forgive and willing to repent and move towards one another and choosing to love. Okay, I get that. But can you and I hope that we could live today as if we were in heaven in reconciliation, our relationships? How awesome would that be? So understanding that the kingdom is not just about great exploits and having this humongous breakthrough with a person, but it's really about seeds and doing the small things and investing the small things in those relationships. And also keeping a right perspective that each one of us is going to be in heaven someday. And why not work it out now? Why not hope now? Because listen, there is one individual on this planet and all his little minions that really wants us not to work it out. And that is the devil and all his little demons. Because I don't know what his great big scheme is right now or what. I'm not trying to presume I know everything about the devil. I don't even really care about the devil very much. But the reality is he's real. And what he wants to do, we know, is to diffuse the partnership and the energy and the effectiveness of God's church. He wants to harm God's church. He wants to harm you. And what he wants is to create division among us and diffuse our effectiveness. And if he can get us to fight amongst ourselves and to not partner together and not love one another and break up our marriages and break up our families, listen, it makes him happy. He likes that. Because he diffuses our power and our energy and our ability to work together. You know, a married couple, man, what a powerful, powerful thing that is. A family that stays united. A church that's undivided. Sorry, I couldn't help myself. Just getting on a roll there. A church that's not divided, right? Man, how awesome is that? When you start to feel that, I've been in churches that are like that, and I feel this happening in our church, and that's exciting. You can feel it. But watch out. Here comes the devil. Here comes the enemy going to try to create division and discord. But you and I have to be equipped with the truth. If you and I can each embrace that we are ambassadors of reconciliation, that we carry the power to make relationships right within us. Man, how awesome of a church can we have? We need to defend ourselves against the enemy's strategy. You're going to get hurt. You're going to be disappointed. There's going to be expectations not met. We're people, all of us, from the top to the back. It's not really a bottom. All of us. Come on. And it's going to happen. So we need to equip ourselves with the tools to forgive, to pursue repentance, and pursue reconciliation. So I got some principles, some things. Once we get our mindset, our perspective right, then we got some tools. And one tool here to be an agent of reconciliation is to know that you don't know what you don't know. 1 Corinthians 4:4, the Apostle Paul, wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, says he knew Jesus personally, spent years fellowshipping with Jesus, got knocked off his donkey and had a radical encounter with Jesus. This guy was a stud for Jesus. He says this: my conscience is clear, but that doesn't prove I'm right. What? It is the Lord himself who will examine me and decide. So don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns. For he will bring out our darkest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due. Look, when you and I buy in to the fact that we don't know everything and that our perspective is unbelievably limited, even when we look back at the memories of how we've been hurt or how someone else hurt us, when you realize that, and I don't know all the science behind all of this, I only know a little bit, is that they've proven that when something happens and you start thinking back on it, almost instantly you're in your memory, you distort the memory and facts get all whacked out. Instantly. It's almost within seconds of when something happens, you already start processing that memory through your own paradigm or lens. You process it through your own pain, through your own perspective, and it's not accurate to what really happened. And when two parties go back and they try to look at a scenario that was broken, they both remember it differently. You know what I'm saying? You ever been there? And two people are saying, well, I was both there in the same place, but they are looking at these things like totally differently, right? And the reality is it's not a sum game in the kingdom. In the kingdom, it's not about winning and losing. It's not about somebody scores more points than the other person and they're more right than the other person and God goes, wow, you're more right. The kingdom's about relationship. You've got to keep that perspective. When we maintain relationship, we win. Not when we're right. That's when we win, is when we maintain relationship. And we have to do everything we can do at all costs to maintain that relationship, like Ephesians 4 said, make every effort, right? But first we got to remember, we don't know everything. And like Paul said in Corinthians 13, that we only know in part and see in part, right? We can't know it all. And he even admits, you know, I feel good about it here, but I know better. I know better. God knows what really happened. What's most important is we make our relationship right, not that we get all the facts right. You with me? Like the Apostle Paul in the book of Philemon, if you're going to be an agent of reconciliation, an ambassador of reconciliation, you've got to be someone who's willing to take risks. If you read the book of Philippians, you wouldn't have time to do it right now. We see Philemon, he was a slave owner to Onesimus, and you know, Onesimus escapes and then gets saved under Paul's ministry. And Paul disciples this guy and he loves him so much, he calls him a son in the faith. And he challenges him, Onesimus, you got to go back and make this relationship right, because Philemon is also a brother in Christ, and I'm going to appeal to him. And he writes this whole letter centered around reconciliation. It's really a beautiful letter. But he takes some very, very brave and bold strokes of this pen when he writes this book, and he really presses Philemon to say, you need to do the right thing, which is to accept this brother, forgive this brother, and accept him back into your heart, not as a slave anymore, but as a brother in Christ. You need to do the right thing and make this relationship right. And that was a hard thing. He made Onesimus like pack up all his gear. He could have gone back there and been treated very terribly and been a slave. So he had to take a big risk. Not only Paul, but Onesimus had to take a big risk to find reconciliation. And I think that for you and I, if we're going to find reconciliation in our relationships, you and I have to be willing to be bold and be courageous and step out and trust the Lord that he will lead us into reconciliation. He will actually bring about reconciliation if we're willing to take those risks. And sometimes it takes a leader to bring reconciliation, doesn't it? Anybody can be a leader. You are a leader if you choose to be a leader. You got to choose to do the right thing and say, look, I'm going to step out and I'm going to take those steps of faith and I'm going to really do something about this broken relationship. So how do I do that? Here's one really good strategy. Keep moving forward. Just keep moving forward. You know, in the military and even in sports, you take strategic ground where you can take it, when you can take it. And sometimes armies will get overextended because they try to take too much too fast. And it's not the right time, but they're always looking to take some kind of strategic ground. And so for you and I in our relationships, if we just get the mindset, I'm not going to get stuck. I'm committed to not leave any of my relationships where they're at. I'm committed to move my relationship forward somehow, same way, even if it's just a seed, even if it's just a tiny little bit. You find the place where you can move your relationship forward and do it. Take the ground, take a risk and do it. Amen. Hey, you're one meeting less in heaven in the reconciliation room, okay? Just do it now. I don't know if that's true. Strike that from the record. But it might be. You never know. You know he's going to make them right, okay? Might as well do it now. Listen, when you do it, there's hope in your suffering, right? It's going to produce something good. God's going to change you and sharpen you. Listen, open up your hearts to your wives. Open up your hearts to your husbands. Take a risk in your relationship with your kids. Take some strategic ground. Don't demand or command, even Paul in Philemon. He says, I'm not going to demand you do this, Philemon, but you know what the right thing is to do. So I'm going to appeal to your heart. Make an appeal to the heart. Don't make a demand on someone. Sow seeds of love. Sow seeds of compassion. Come on, right? How about be a peacemaker, right? How about we sow some seeds of peace? Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. This word in the Greek, peacemaker, really means to cultivate peace. So you're like a farmer in agrarian society. This is where they live. You're like going to cultivate this peace. You're going to keep working it. You're going to work the land so it will be produced, and so the seeds will grow up in it. James 3:17 says, but the wisdom from heaven is above all, first pure and then peace-loving. Gentle, what? So when we're in conflict, we're going to be gentle, loving at all times. That's the way you find reconciliation. Be willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and good deeds. So we're going to do good stuff. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers, they cultivate peace, will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Can you just sow seeds? Listen, strategically, you want to take some ground? Sow some seeds of peace in your relationship. Good deeds, peace loving, gentleness, yielding, having mercy. We got to let stuff go. This is all part of forgiveness and repentance, right? How about bringing healing words to your relationships? You want to take some strategic ground? Bring some healing words. Use words that promote healing and life and build up the relationship. Romans 12:17, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. We can bring healing to our communities through repentance in our relationships. Healing words like this I was wrong. Yikes. Can we say that real slow? I was wrong. It feels good to say that, doesn't it? It might be the first time, but let's do it one more time. I was wrong. Okay, that's going to help you. That's going to help me. Man, if we can lead from our weakness, we're going to bring a lot of healing. I'm sorry for the way that that hurt you. Some guys, you might want to write these down. I'm sorry for the way I hurt you. I care. Listen, this is an appeal. I care about our relationship. It hurts that we have something between us. I'm not making accusations. This is a problem between us. And you're making an appeal to the desire for relationship. I know we're broke. That hurts me. I'm sad about that. And I really care about our relationship. That's why I hurt so bad. And you and I need to have the courage to make that appeal. That is serious strategic ground that you and I can take to move towards reconciliation. You might not be admitting wrong. You're not admitting things, but you tell the person you're broken with, we're messed up, but I want a relationship with you. Even if it's different, I want to work this out. Even if it's different than the way it was before. I miss you and you are important to me. Another appeal to the relationship. I want you to ask yourself, am I bringing healing to the relationship or am I bringing hurt? Sometimes we are hurt, but am I harming the relationship, right? Or am I bringing healing to the relationship? Think about this, even more simple. Am I wrecking or reconciling? Right? You're going one way or the other. You're either stuck in the mud, just stuck, or you're wrecking the relationship, or you're reconciling it, bringing it back. My plea to you is that you embrace your call as an ambassador of reconciliation to always find a way to bring some measure, some step, sow some seed, move towards healing in your relationship and reconciliation in every relationship you have. Don't allow any of them to be stuck. Don't wreck, reconcile, right? A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Proverbs 15:1. Man, let's speak gently to one another. You start getting fired up, stop, walk away, start over. I was wrong. I need to start over. I'm tweaked. I care about our relationship. And I don't, this stuff that's between us, it hurts me. Ultimately, to be a good agent or be good at being an ambassador for reconciliation, we ultimately have to trust that God is going to complete the things He starts, don't we? That He's really going to finish it. And even if it takes us getting to heaven, right? We don't get it all the way worked out, but at least we made every effort, right? Made every effort to preserve the peace and the bond of peace so that more people can get saved. Are you with me? The more we work together, the more people get saved. And this is what's exciting about working in the kingdom, is people's lives get changed and transformed and they meet the loving, living God. And they have someone who can help them in their trial. You and especially God. Isn't that beautiful? We need to learn how to become excellent at reconciliation. So what about your relationships? Do you have a relationship that's broke? Do you have a relationship that's upside down or it's distant and you're hurting? And is there something you can do to sow seeds of peace, be a peacemaker, be a reconciler, be an ambassador for reconciliation? What about you? Maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus. And maybe you're like, hey, I need to be reconciled. Before I'm ready to reconcile with anybody else, I need Jesus. I can tell God you are real and you came and you died for me. And I need to be reconciled. If that's you here today, I want to give you an opportunity to choose Jesus. I promise you'll be glad you did. It's what you're made for. is to be in relationship with Him. And if you have an emptiness in your heart, or you feel like you're lost, you're lonely, and you don't know where you fit, listen, you can try anything and everything else you want to fit in your life, but it's like a God-shaped puzzle in your heart that only Jesus will fit in. And you need to choose Him. If you choose Him, I promise you, then you will find that intimate relationship. You'll find that meaning that you have been looking for and searching for all your life. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. The wages of sin is death, separation from God, right? But in Romans 5, verse 6, He said, at just the right time, right? When we were totally helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Goes on to say in Romans 3 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And all we have to do is believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. It's about lordship and choosing what Jesus did for you. If that's you today, you're like, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to receive His forgiveness for my sin. I know I've sinned, and I want to receive that. And I want to be reconciled or made in right relationship with God by Christ's power, not mine, by choosing Him. I want to pray with you today. Can we close our eyes and bow our heads, church? If that's you here today, I want to encourage you to pray with me. And if we could, church, just pray together out loud. Lord Jesus, today I give my heart to You. You are my Lord. I receive Your forgiveness for my sin. Heal my heart. Bring me close to You. Come live in my heart as the Lord of my life. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit so I can do Your work that You made me for. I love You today. Amen. Amen. Anybody so brave here that you would raise your hand and say, hey, that was me. I gave my heart to Jesus today. Anybody here? I gave my heart to Jesus. Somebody over here, praise the Lord. I'm so proud of you. You are courageous. Anybody else? I gave my heart to Jesus today. There's another one. You are beautiful. Thank you. Who else? Just be bold. Just raise your hand. That's it. I just want to see. Pray for you more. Anybody else? Well, hallelujah. Two more going to heaven today. That's great news. I'd encourage you, we have some new believer bags in the back and at the booth, and we'll you guys go back there and grab those, a new Bible, we have a book for you, and some materials to get you started on your relationship. But hey, before we go, church, we're going to pray together, because we got stuff to pray about too, right? We need help reconciling our relationships, don't we? Loving people, walking in forgiveness, repentance, all this fun stuff. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Come on, you're more excited about it than me, right? Come on, it's going to be good, because the end is good, and you're going to grow, and our church is going to grow, and people are going to come to know Christ, and we're going to live healthier together as we live real together, right? Come closer. Don't we need more relationship? Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much. Come on, You pray. Jesus, thank You so much. Come on, with Your own words. God, I need You. Make me an ambassador for reconciliation. I'm praying for my relationships right now that You will help them be made right. God, I need You to help me in those relationships. Give me wisdom, God, that is from heaven, not from earth, God, that's peaceable and gentle and it's good and it's loving. Help me to sow seeds of peace, to cultivate peace in my relationships. God, I need You. Come on, take your need to Him. God, I need You. I don't even know how to do this. God, give me the courage. I'm so afraid. Help me with my fear in tackling these broken relationships. God, give me wisdom how to take just strategic ground, little by little, to sow seeds of reconciliation. I'm praying for healing in my marriage. I'm praying for healing in my relationships with my kids. God, grow me so that I can I can love them more, and I can be with them more. God, I need you. I'm praying for reconciliation with my boss and with my siblings, God, my brothers and sisters, and other members of the church or former pastors, because no one could ever have problems with me. And even with my current pastor, God, help me, right? God, help me right now. Lord, we need you as a whole church. God, I'm praying for a massive wave of revival, God, through this church. God, I'm believing that thousands of souls will come to know you through these believers, through each one of us, God. We'll each win some and disciple some, God, but it will create a massive movement that will transform this city. God, I pray that you use us. We pray for those souls around us that need to come to know you. God, cause us to be ambassadors for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, hey, church, God bless you. You are amazing. Don't let everybody tell you different, right? I think you're amazing, and you can make these relationships right. Go this week, be thankful, right, in your Thanksgiving time, but maybe take some strategic ground during this holiday time and all this family time. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.